Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
With New York City schools back in session, we wanted to look into what is actually available for students to learn and explore, and the history that hasn't been accessible to most in the past, and what kids' history that they've actually lived through. New York Times editor Veronica Chambers wanted to explore the history of the current civil rights movement and its connections and parallels to previous movements. Chambers has written a book aimed at young readers called Call and Response, The Story of Black Lives Matter. As she told Publishers Weekly, quote, kids want to be part of the conversation. They are more curious than many adults and they appreciate a good story. They can handle the truth. The book uses a mixed media approach, including photographs, quotes, and even playlists. I'm happy to welcome Veronica Chambers back to the show. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Allison. Happy to be here.
So you're not new to writing books for kids that have meaty subjects. You wrote the book, I love the title of this one, Shirley Chisholm is a Verb. And you contributed to the book, Finish the Fight About Women's Rights. You know, those are smaller kids, but those are still pretty big subjects. How did you want to approach this book, which is for a slightly older reader?
Yeah, this book, Call and Response, is really aimed at readers 10 to 14. And, you know, we started working on it really at the end of last summer, which was an interesting time because obviously it was a year and a summer of racial reckoning. It was the summer of Black Lives Matter, but we were also coming off of suffrage and thinking about women and voting rights. So we just decided to just the same core team to dive right into the story, and we were really writing as it was happening.
What kind of conversations did you and your team have around the fact that Black Lives Matter, those three words, have become politicized and sometimes used out of context?
Well, you know, Allison, personally, it was an interesting moment for me because, you know, my daughter was 13 last summer, and as a Black Latina parent, I had actually really avoided talking about a lot of the more painful parts of this racial history, in part to protect her. You know, like I just didn't want, I kind of focused on the Black girl magic thing and not on the violence and everything else. And so I was really thinking about the conversations that we had and how do you like unpack what you're seeing in the streets and give some sort of substance to it. So we kind of decided to make the first half of the book really about what was underlying the Black Lives Matter movement, because of course it's 200 years of history, 200 plus years of history. And then the second half of the book is really about why people protest and why does it matter. And it's about all kinds of protest and all the different ways that people can protest. And we felt like that was a really powerful conversation, you know, combination.
Do you have a favorite chapter?
You know, I love the chapter about sports. We sent the book to a lot of middle school kids and friends, and it was really great to see how some of the kids went straight to the ones about athletes, the chapter about athletes. And I loved seeing them, like, unite Naomi Osaka's mask at the U.S. Open with the 1968 Olympics and Arthur Ashe, and just the fact that in any realm that you're in, if you care something, there's a way to make your voice heard. And that's really the message.
My guest is Veronica Chambers. We're talking about the book Call and Response, The Story of Black Lives Matter. How did you come upon on the title? We know what Call and Response is. Why was it the right title for this book?
Well, you know, we really wanted it to be a conversation. You know, I think that we wanted it to be, okay, this is the call. This is the story. These are the more than 100 photographs from the New York Times in the book. And really, what is your response? And we wanted it to be open-ended. The book isn't saying that one movement, one way is right. It's really saying, again and again, if there's something you care about, peaceful protest is the most powerful way to make it happen. You know, there was a study done between 1900 and 2016 by university academics, and over 50% of peaceful protests were successful versus less than 20% of violent protests. So it is the mechanism of change in our modern world.
In between the chapters, there are these interludes. You include a section called Visual Moment, murals with a message, looking at different public artworks, a part of the movement, part of their origins. There's about protest song playlists, one historical and one current. Why did you want to include these sort of less traditional approaches to history, to teaching history?
I really wanted this book to be accessible to all kinds of kids with all kinds of interests, and parents and teachers and librarians in the same way. I think that history is powerful when you can get in where you fit in. So if you love music, then the playlists are a great place to start. I mean, if you start with a classic civil rights protest playlist, there's actually so much to think about, from Strange Fruit to all these other songs. You could just think about music. And I feel like we've got to have more and different ways to have conversation, because I think the success of Black Lives Matter, the big success, was saying that this is not about a bad apple or a bad group of people or a bad state or a bad chapter in history. It's really about, you know, the promise of the country we hope to become. And so I wanted to make the book to feel as lively and inviting to that conversation as possible.
I also think it is really inviting to people who are different kind of learners. Because some kids can sit in a corner and read a book and just digest it all, but some other kids need different avenues in and can get just as much out of it, but they need to know there's a way for them into the conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, the book was published by Versify, which is an imprint that was started by Kwame Alexander, and I just think Kwame and so many authors like him have done such a good job of creating work that's inviting to reluctant readers, to people who struggle with reading, and saying stories are for everyone. And it doesn't matter if you're an A student in English or an A student in social studies. I was really seeking to emulate what Kwame and other authors like that have done.
My guest is Veronica Chambers. The name of the book is Call and Response, The Story of Black Lives Matter. And, you know, it's obviously in the book that they're sort of parallel and they, you know, intersect spiritually. Let's say the civil rights and black power movement of 54 to 68 and Black Lives Matter 2012 to 2020. What did you want to illustrate for the young reader, for whom, like, 1954 seems like, you know, the Pleistocene age?
Yeah. I think that the main thing we wanted to say is that, you know, history and change is a continuum. And that I think what's so interesting is, you know, it's a baton, it's a relay. I think that I was thinking a lot about Frederick Douglass and the Frederick Blight biography. And, you know, there was a moment, and I didn't know this when I was growing up, when Abraham Lincoln wanted to, like, kind of create colonies of former enslaved people. And Frederick Douglass was like, we intend to stay here. We want to be part of this country. This is our country. And I think that sense of we're going to stay and we're going to work together for change, just to know that that's an ongoing conversation. And we get some things right and we get some things wrong, but we really try to keep keep pushing it forward. And I think that's something that I wasn't taught history that way. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted that to come across in the book.
I want to ask you about a few chapters and choices in a few chapters. And I'm interested in the words in chapter one, which is titled Three Girls Who Wanted to Make the World Better. Why did you choose the word girls versus women? It's about the founders of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was really struck once I started to dig into their story about how much Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, that this was not something that began for them in college or in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, really, at the age that our readers were, they were each involved in some kind of social justice movement. And I thought that was really powerful. And I think that the idea that this is what they wanted to do, make the world better. I wanted kids to think, this isn't a book about black people or race or this. This is a book about three activists and a whole generation of activists who wanted to make the world better.
In chapter eight, it explores different ways someone can participate in a protest. I'm curious, as you were writing it, how did you balance the story element of the book with almost, there's like a kind of a guide element to this particular chapter?
Yeah, the, you mean like the who's who at a protest?
Yeah, I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, well, that actually came up because we did an Instagram story, the New York Times, that dissected who's who at a protest. And again, it was talking to my daughter and her friends. Mm-hmm. And my daughter attended her first protest last summer. And she had no idea that, you know, there's a marshal, there are medics, there are legal observers. And so I went to the team that did the Instagram story, Juliana Kim and Lucky Benson, and they were part of the Metro team. And I said, can I take your Instagram story and try to make it into a chapter? I think you see these crowds of protesters miles and miles all throughout the book, but to really like kind of go in close and say, it's actually a lot more organized than you would think, I thought was important. And again, that goes back to the civil rights movement, which, you know, really templated a lot of what many protest movements have used as in terms of organization.
Yeah, you talk about the marshals. They help maintain momentum. They're often wearing safety vests and carrying bullhorns. The bike patrol clear the street for protesters. The front line, the street medics, the suppliers, the legal observers. You know, as I was reading this, I thought, and I'm guessing you might have had this thought yourself, that this book could be really useful to adults, I think, as well. Was that in your mind at all as you all were working on it? I know you were aiming towards young readers, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the best kids' books are books that adults want to read. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go into the kids' section all the time, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is fascinating. You know, so...
You know, I describe this book to somebody as... You know, the kids are, they lived through this history, but they don't, you know, they're maybe a little too young to have perspective. How did you want to help them have a little bit of perspective? Because we're really talking about things that happened 2-3 years ago, even, you know, months ago.
Yeah, I think that I remember when I learned about the civil rights movement, and this was probably so naive of me, but I was in college and I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to have the chance to make this kind of impact mm-hmm. in the world. And I think what I really wanted to say was, you know, I don't know what the conversation was, you know, last summer when you might have been in quarantine with your right. parents and maybe watching news, maybe not, but something momentous happened. And this is what 100 photographers and lots of editors and writers and reporters saw and observed, and it's part of a continuum. And you were there, and the last chapter is really about how all kinds of young people, like Little Miss Flynn, and of course Greta, and the climate change, and the March for Our Lives, like we really tried to broaden the lens at the end to say that this is part of a long history of peaceful protest, and it's really, it's happening all over the place, and there are all kinds of ways to protest.
How would you like this to be used in a classroom?
You know, I know that you're talking some about critical race theory, and I've been talking a lot to teachers, and mm-hmm. I love talking to teachers and librarians, and I guess I would say, and we dedicated the book to our favorite librarians and teachers. Mm-hmm. I think I would just love for teachers to find the thing that interests them. I mean, the murals chapter, we probably went through 500, 600 pictures
wow.
of murals, and, you know, just to kind of pick 20. You know, so if you're an art teacher and you want to talk about literally the art of protest, do that. If you're a music teacher and you want to talk about how Strange Fruit became the first popular song, that protest song that became known as a work of art, you know, I think a lot mm-hmm. of times we think, oh, I'm going to say something and make a difference. And I think the music chapter is really interesting because it says the songs that move the world, the Bob Dylans and the Kendrick Lamars and the Billie Holiday, they are great music as well as message music. And I think that's a really interesting conversation to have in a performing arts setting. And I think also, you know, just for teachers and librarians, I loved being hand-sold books And just to say, you know, maybe there's a kid who's kind of quiet, mm-hmm. who doesn't want to run for a class office, who doesn't, and to sort of say, okay, look, there's all these other things. I mean, Opal Tometi built the Black Lives Matter webpage. I mean, you could be a tech person and you could build a page for something that you care about. You don't have to be out front with a bullhorn. So I'm hoping that the little bits of the book will speak to lots of different kinds of readers and really encourage kids to find their voice. Because I think that over this last year, kids have been subject to so much. And I know that they can feel the fear and they can feel the agitation and they can feel the conflict, but they also have a voice, and I want to really encourage that confidence that you can make a difference and that what you care about matters. It really does. Whatever it is that you really care about, it matters. And there are grown-ups who want to know about it, and your peers as well.
And it's really great. I just want to point out at the end of the book, you have the selected bibliography where you write that you relied heavily on your New York Times colleagues, but there's all kinds of articles and books that you used as resources, and they're all listed here as well as the interviews you did for the book. The name of it is Call and Response, The Story of Black Lives Matter. My guest has been Veronica Chambers. Veronica, thank you for working on this book and bringing it to the world.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.